Well, we're pleased at this point in the show to talk about an organization that's been doing incredible work for many, many years in Fairfield County in the greater Bridgeport area that has a whole new sheen, a whole new brand, a whole new look, new website, and a new name. I'm talking about Catalyst Connecticut. You may have known them as Riosap. Over the past four decades, the now Catalyst CT has been a source of hope for underserved and marginalized youth, families, and neighborhoods. Since 1985, they've positively impacted young people, young adults, and their families with all kinds of programs and supports. We're so pleased to talk to Mark Donald. He's president and CEO of what is now Catalyst CT. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. Before we get started, we just want to remind people that maybe, you know, have gotten through the recent heat wave and are saying, man, you know, they're kind of getting a handle on this whole climate change thing and wondering how they might be able to make their home or place of business more resilient to issues related to climate change. Our partners at the Connecticut Green Bank have just announced that two of their flagship financing offerings for homes and commercial buildings are expanding to include projects related to climate adaptation, resiliency, and water infrastructure. Additions allow home and building owners to protect their properties against extreme weather events and potential losses from climate change. And especially for you homeowners, the Smart E-Loan program can offer financing for more than 50 different kinds of upgrades, including insulation, windows, HVAC, solar, geothermal, and battery storage. If you're a homeowner and you want to learn more about the Green Bank and their programs and climate resiliency offerings, go to ctgreenbank.com. And now to Catalyst CT. Mark, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Great, John. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So as we as you briefed me before we turned on the microphone, you're around 5 years at what was Riosap and is now Catalyst CT. Let's start talking about what I imagine may have been the inklings or rumblings of a desire to change the branding while keeping and improving the programming way back closer to when you arrived at the organization.
Yeah, I think, you know, it gives us an opportunity to really tell the story of what we do here at Catalyst and honor the history that Riosap, under the name and flagship, did for 35, 40 years. And with the restructuring, we decided to change our strategies just slightly, especially with the rise of the crisis around mental health in general, but especially the youth mental health. And combine some of our programs, consolidate, but most importantly, integrate them in the work we do. So it's kind of a reaction, but also being proactive in problems that unfortunately are not going away anytime soon.
Well, you as sort of the figurative quarterback at Catalyst, you couldn't have scored this incredible transformation and rebranding without a very worthy and talented team. Give us a little bit of insight into how you and the leadership there at Catalyst helped to steer this mission to keep the best of what you did and make it better while kind of readjusting to meet and pivot toward the needs of today in the communities that you serve.
Thank you. Really appreciate the quarterback metaphor because you certainly need a great offensive line, but you also need to check what the linebackers are doing to make sure the right play is called. And so we approached it on a couple of different levels. And, you know, historically we have we've incorporated direct service where we're working with young people directly to get them out of trouble, keep them out of trouble, and stop them from getting in trouble in the first place. But also looking at the advocacy and policy lens, while we're building capacity in the community. So what does that mean? It means that we knew going in and through the pandemic and COVID, with our young people being removed from the communities, the uncertainty around health and interaction with social and emotional development, that there'd be some issues around there. So we have programming in our schools where we're working with young people who are struggling to help them build skills to navigate their school, their social settings, and their home lives. In addition to that, we're incorporating all the strengths of our behavioral health programming that is working on educating the public around opioid and other drugs and their misuse and abuse. We're working on suicide prevention, which unfortunately is becoming a greater issue, as well as the general mental health and behavioral health issues that we're facing now that, like I said, are just increasing. But if we know more, we can respond better. We can be aware of our own needs as human beings, aware of our neighbors' needs. So integrating all of those and, using the strengths of the communities, but bringing in our expertise to solve these problems that we're facing.
Yeah, and I think of equal importance is community awareness, so you not only can gather your team around each individual that you serve, but also do it with not just the blessing, but also the support and knowledge of the community, which leads me to revert back to our mutual friend, Mary Pat Healy, who on this program 25 years ago was already talking about the State of the Child report, which is an invaluable tool for community leaders, nonprofit leaders, educators, political leaders, and others, community members, to pay attention to, especially in the greater Bridgeport area. And this is something that has remained constant with RIASAP, and I see has now continued to become an important part of the information that Catalyst is gathering and sharing.
Yeah, the State of the Child is a great example. As we, with data coming so fast and furious, we've moved that to digital so we can continue to analyze and disseminate and present. And the community is a key role in that. And just on Monday, we had 25 community members come in for youth mental health first aid training. So they now are better equipped to work with young people. We continue to analyze the data. It's very clear, and the U.S. Surgeon General has come through saying that youth mental health is in a crisis. And quite frankly, as the practitioners, as the professionals, we have to do a better job of educating ourselves so that we can support these young people. So, the State of the Child is a key component and one of the components that we use to address the issue.
We're having our conversation at a particularly interesting point in time where you and your team at Catalyst are neck deep in addressing the issues that are, first, second, third, and fourth from the top of news broadcasts, media reporting, news reporting. As you mentioned, the Surgeon General has just come out in regards to issues around social networks. We're looking at more and more communities and school systems looking at restricting or usage of mobile devices. We're looking at federal officials looking at social network companies and the potential harm that they may be causing to our youngest people. And we're hearing from Hartford and state houses across the country post-COVID of this crisis in engagement with young people going back to school. We're seeing chronic absenteeism at a stage that we've never seen before. And here we are, a Catalyst, an agency, right in our own neighborhood, that's virtually addressing all of those as your top priorities.
Yeah, and that's so true. And as the data show, the legalization of cannabis you know, young people are beginning to use cannabis more. The data for alcohol abuse is rising for older men in a certain demographic. And all these factors look like, you know, self-treatment for some of these issues. And there, it's obviously not healthy coping skills. And I think one of our goals, and you can hear it in the name of Catalyst, is we have to bring different parts of the community, different, bedfellows, so to speak, together to create the change to solve these problems.
Mm. How do you go about engaging with the school district and the various private schools in the greater Bridgeport area?
Well, fortunately, we do benefit from the 40-year relationships that RISAP developed, and we continue to develop and seek new relationships. We have a great relationship with Bridgeport Public Schools. We've recently added our restorative practices training to Fairfield Public Schools, and are constantly bringing in different stakeholders to these training sessions and spread the gospel for stuff that works. I think that's the beauty of having access to more data than ever, is we can show that reducing suspensions is possible through a restorative practice approach. And our young people are better able to handle these skills, learn from their mistakes, restore the harm that they've caused. And it really works from a long-term lens and breaks that school-to-prison pipeline. So I think it's really using our advocacy lens, using our data lens, and our direct service lens, learning what works, showcasing what works, learning what doesn't, and being transparent about what doesn't, so we can learn to solve these problems together.
The other component that we didn't talk about is embodied in the Park City Career Pathways Program, and that is creating opportunities for young people to get trained and integrated into not just the workforce at the sort of minimum wage service industry level, but we have commercial, industrial, manufacturing, and other partners who are elbowing at each other for a place at the table to be able to access these future workforce members for real career building, well-paying, well-benefited jobs right here in Fairfield County.
Yeah, and you know, the Park City Career Pathways is a great example of what we do here at Catalyst, is that we learned that the workforce development programs that had worked for so many years don't seem to be working for the programs or for the young people that we have now. They don't know some of these jobs that exist right in their backyard that pay, you know, career living wages that support a family with, as you said, solid benefits and retirement plans. So they're not even aware that these jobs exist. So in order to fill a need for our business community, we created this program, and now we're able to expose young people to opportunities they didn't know. And on the backs of the Unspoken Crisis Report commissioned by the Dalio Foundation, the business community is realizing that, you know, we've got almost 100,000 unfilled jobs that our industry needs, and we've got young people who don't know these jobs exist. So naturally, there's a good fit here, but we have to work better to, you know, do a better job marketing and educating our young people that these are options, and get them something that they're interested in. We all know that many of us have jumped into careers we thought we might like, and then we get in them and we don't like them anymore, or it just doesn't seem to fit or speak to our heart song.
Or pay enough.
Or pay enough, right? Absolutely. And knowing that the reality of putting money, putting a roof over our head and food in our fridge, mm-hmm. Is so important. And if you can do that with something that you enjoy that pays a career wage, a true living wage, then you're going to progress in that career up the chain, ideally. And there are options across the way that, you know, our traditional workforce development just hasn't done a great job of preparing us for.
Right. And I think we've already seen the career pathways, you know, strategically connecting young people with these career making, great paying, great benefited jobs. And in fact, I'm sure just in the 5 or so years that you've been with the organization, you've seen many young people who have come out of these programs, who have already assumed positions of leadership in their community, in their places of worship, in their neighborhoods, and in nonprofit organizations around the region.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, the key part about our Park City career pathways is it's not necessarily that quote-unquote workforce development. It's really a workforce exposure where we guide the young people along their interest level as to what might work for them. Mm. You know, Connecticut State Housatonic right in our backyard. We've been able to get several students enrolled there in a high need pathway that they're interested in. You know, I always joked about the phlebotomy pathway. I believe it's 6 months to a year. You can get certified as a phlebotomist. But if you don't like needles, that's not going to be the best pathway for you. So let's find the one that works for you. Right. If you've got no problem with it, then that's a high need, very good paying job that you can be getting those wages in 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes. Mark Donald is with us, president and CEO of Catalyst. CatalystCT.org is their website, formerly known as RiaSap. Mark, I got to tell you, I am a regular reader of the e-newsletter that comes out of the hub. So I'd like you to just quickly remind people in a minute or two what the hub is all about.
Great, thank you. Yeah, so the hub serves from Greenwich to Stratford, and the easy way to think about it is all towns that touch the Merritt and Weston. So there's 4 other regional behavioral health action organizations, as they're known, across the state. And our goal is to educate, advocate, and spread the word about all things involving behavioral health, mental health, substance misuse, and addiction. And the addiction spectrum would include gambling. You know, with the legalization of cannabis, with the legalization of gambling, the potential for addiction is real, and that can start as young in the teen years for young people with the gaming, et cetera. So we want people to be highly educated. There's a lot of myths about teens and cannabis consumption, as well as adults and cannabis consumption. So our mission and the importance of our work is only getting greater. So we educate the communities. We do trainings like the Youth Mental Health First Aid I mentioned. We do the QPR, which is Question, Persuade, Refer, around suicide prevention. Vaping is becoming a bigger issue with teens.
Sure.
And is also not a good thing for adults either. And I think part of the messaging around that has been that vaping is better than cigarettes, and really it's trading one problem for another. So the hub does trainings. We do a lot of different resource guides that can educate communities. I think one thing I mentioned recently is the data coming out that alcohol abuse among men from 35 to 50 is growing astronomical. So we clearly have a lot of work to do around educating people and concentrating on the harm reduction around that type of abuse.
Right. And returning to the initial subject of bringing our young people up as best we can, a program I learned about probably 15 years ago that's been near and dear to my heart, because every single time I talk to somebody who's a graduate of PLTI, the Parent Leadership Training Institute, I hear excitement and inspiration from these people in the last minute or so that we have. When is the next Parent Leadership Training Institute at Catalyst?
Well, we just had the 24th graduation last Tuesday on June 11th, and we start the new classes in January. Our recruitment will start in September. And that is probably the premier capacity building program we have, because we graduate 20 to 30 parent leaders every year. And those leaders go out and become leaders in their communities, leaders at their kids' school. And it really is a force multiplier. And the alumni network of that is unmatched. It would rival Syracuse or Harvard or Yale in terms of passionate believers in the program, for good reason.
Fantastic. Over the past four decades, the organization we now know as Catalyst CT has been a source of hope for underserved and marginalized youth, families, and neighborhoods. And since 1985, they've positively impacted these communities and individuals. As you are hearing, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you'd like to know more or get involved or support Catalyst, please go to their website, catalystct.org. They're Executive Director, President, and CEO, I should say. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark Donald with us this morning here for this segment and our celebration of their rebranding. What is old is new now with Catalyst CT and a number of great new and growing and thriving programs for you to get to know. Once again, catalystct.org, their website. Mark, we'll say farewell to you for now and look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much for being on the program.